beyond the ground. Your head is there to move you around. So stand. Now face no think about direction. Wonder why you have it now. Stand. Now face no think about the place where you live. Wonder why you have it. Stand in the place where you live.
Day to be in church. Awesome day for a picnic. Are we ready for a picnic today? All right, awesome. So, God is good.
All the time.
Right. From the movie, right? And all the time?
God is good.
Awesome. You guys passed the test. Let's stand up. Let's get ready to worship the Lord today. Where's Jill?
I'm singing. I'm good. All right.
I'd just like to start with prayer today. Let's go ahead and do that. Lord God, we just thank you for bringing us all here today and for giving us an incredible day to worship and glorify you. Be awesome if we could have the roof just pull back and we get to see your glory. As John Wesley said, the world is your parish. And God, we just thank you for who you are. As we continue today with this series, as we talk about standing and stand up. God, we just want to stand up and stand out for you. And let's just focus on worshiping you. I know just in the last few days, I got some really like kind of crazy news about people that I know and care about. And God, even though sometimes it seems like Satan's working, which he is, we know that you're working all the more and you're bringing all things to good for your glory. And so during this time, God, let's just stop everything that the world's doing out there, and let's just focus on worshiping you. And all God's children said, amen.
Worship you, Lord. Put your hands together. We're here for you, God.
Crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me, yours is the victory.
Shall I fear?
Whom shall I fear?
I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of always by my side.
And nothing at all.
And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hand. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful. Me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
Whom shall I
is always by my side.
Give God some praise.
Let's just all just get still and just worship the Lord in His majesty.
Your man. majesty, covered by your grace so free.
Bye.
man. Lord God, we just thank you that we're here in your presence of your majesty. Just fill us and fill this entire room and fill our hearts and your lives with that majesty so that we can stand and serve you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
Great. Isn't it great just to worship and just connect and just have just feel the presence of the Lord? Isn't that awesome? Just to have that, because a lot of times during the week, you know He's there, but you may not feel it and experience it. At least if you're in the same place as I am, you don't. Okay. So we want to lift up some prayer requests. Chris King, Daryl's been blessed with the privilege of being Chris's husband for 42 years on 9/30. She was six. She's now 36, so we're glad. She was 40, or whatever. You do the math. But it's a blessing for her. She's not sure about Daryl, she says. Liz Aspie, Audrey, a friend's granddaughter. God knows her needs. Jill, for Ken Diaz and an SUV driver who was in the car accident last night. Jill has a prayer. A joy for Natalie's. Today is Natalie's adoption day. Today, 10 years ago. Excited about that. Oh, June. June is asking for prayers for a job because she lost hers this week. So we want to pray for her. And if anybody has anything or knows anything, what did you do, June?
I worked for a finance company for a car dealership.
Okay, so she worked for a finance company for a car dealership. If anybody knows of anything, I was at a church one time in Chicago where the guy, they had a prayer meeting. They were matching people up. It was one of the most awesome things I've ever seen. So if anybody knows anything, by all means, talk to June. I'm sure she'd appreciate it, right? So that's how we do it. Another prayer request I want to lift up. If anybody has ever been involved with a nursing program or been involved at Cecil College, you may have known the name Dr. Mary Way Bolt. Dr. Mary Bolt, she grew up in Cecil County. Her husband very suddenly died the other day. He was 50-some years old. And their young daughter, who's about as a teenager, like 13 or 14, found him. Please lift the family up in your prayers. It's a tremendous loss for the family and for everybody else involved. Okay? I'll also be praying for those who are on a retreat weekend, the Walk to Emmaus, and we ask for God to be ever present with them as well. Okay? If you have any other prayers or joys, please go ahead and fill those out. We'll make sure that they get to the right people. But most of all, it's an awesome time to be here today. If you came and didn't know we have a picnic after church at Perryville Park. We'd love for you to join us. It's a great time. Kids always have a lot of fun. All right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you now. We just are so grateful for who you are and just thankful that we can come into this place and just worship you. And so, God, as we do, we just we recognize there are so many needs and so many concerns. There's also many joys that we have in our lives for weddings, anniversaries, birthdays and adoption days, all those great things. And for that, we're just excited about. But, God, there's also so many more of us who have a need, who have illnesses, who have tragedy. And sometimes, God, those things just enter. And we don't know where they came from or what the purpose is in any of that. But God, we know that even though you don't cause these things, that you work all things out for the glory of your Son. And so for people who are experiencing loss, for those who are experiencing tragedy of some other sort, for those who are dealing with sickness and infirmity, for those who just who have lost a job and just have no clue about what the next step is, Lord God, I just know that you have a plan and you're not going to leave them alone. And so be with them during this time. And God, as we gather here today, I know there are so many needs around this room. I know there are so many more that are not here, that may be elsewhere, or friends of ours, family members, that God, just what they need most is just a relationship with you. Whatever it is, Lord, we just ask for your Holy Spirit to be with them. We know there's some that are watching online, and as we're speaking right now, they're maybe wanting to be here, or they're wanting to just experience something from you. And so, God, just meet them where they are. But Lord, for all the things that you've given to us to make us who we are, let us not forget that whatever the world says about us, that you tell us something different. You tell us that we're valuable. You tell us that we're that we are your children. And in doing so, God, that is value to you. And so, Lord God, for the rest of this time, we just turn this over to you, as now we take this time, whether we're here, whether we're at home, whether we're watching online on a smartphone or something else, that God, this is a time where we can give back to you through your tithe and our offerings. That it's just a small portion of what you've done for us as we give back. And as we give back, God, we pray that you will multiply it and use it to further the many needs around the world. In Christ's mighty name, we pray. Amen.
Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand.
Before our scripture reading today, what I want to do is I want to give you a chance to just say hi to people around you, okay? So just go right now. Just don't have to move too much. Just say hi to somebody around you today. All right, now that you said hi, good to see everybody. There's a couple announcements I wanted to touch on today. Today is the church picnic, and they're also going to have our annual Haven Bake Off, and my kids have been talking about it for a while, so it should be good, and I know the judges are excited because they get to eat good stuff. There we go. All right. Women's Fall Harvest Dining for Women, October 23rd. And you can contact Judy Music, who's, I saw her here somewhere, she's somewhere. You can contact her if you'd like to check on that. And also, there's a special announcement down at the bottom where it says we're having another movie showing, but this is another special movie. It's called The Anonymous People. It's showing next Sunday. It's about substance abuse, and as we know, recognize addiction is a major part in this area, but it helps you understand that. People will talk publicly about the recovery with the goal of changing the conversation and moving the stigma of shame that is also prevents them from working through the healing process. Also, Pastor Phil Meekins will be here with us to go ahead and talk about that. We do want to let you know that it does have an honest perspective, so there is language, and it may not be appropriate for those who are under 17, but if you're somebody who wants to be really real with your children, you may want to look online, find out about the discussions. You can talk to Shelley or Jill and some others who will help you work through that process as well. But what I always believe is I think the church for years has made things nice and candy-coated it, so we really don't get down and dirty with what it needs to be dealt with, and so we need to. So that will be here next week. It's a great opportunity for you to go ahead and connect with that. You can invite friends and others that you think would benefit from seeing that, and it'll be a good time of a fellowship. All right? Okay.
Chapter 4, verse 22, and then 25 through 27. Daniel's giving God's word to King Nebuchadnezzar. That tree, your majesty, is you, for you have grown strong and great, and your greatness reaches up to heaven, and your rule to the ends of the earth. You will be driven from human society, and you will live in the fields with the wild animals. You will eat grass like a cow, and you will be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way, until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses. But the stump and roots of the tree were left in the ground. This means that you will receive your kingdom back again when you have learned that heaven rules. King Nebuchadnezzar, please accept my advice. Stop sinning and do what is right. Break from your wicked past and be merciful to the poor. Perhaps then you will continue to prosper.
All right. Anybody have some interesting ways to stand this week? Anybody have stand out for God this week? Hopefully you had an opportunity to. There's one other thing I do want to show, one other announcement. One of the cool things that we have is an opportunity to have, anybody ever heard of John Maxwell, leadership John Maxwell? Well, I want to show this brief video. Debbie DeVirgilio and her group, her company, are going to bring a simulcast to Northeast of John Maxwell's leadership. And it's going to be about, I think, just a love offering of $25, which is really cheap. But I want to show you just this really quick clip, and then we'll move on further in the service.
Hi, I'm John Maxwell. I am so excited about the L2 simulcast that you're going to be able to see. And the reason I'm so excited is because we are really wanting to help leaders learn to lead effectively. I'm going to be talking about my most recent book, Good Leaders Ask Great Questions. Do you realize the questions are the key that unlocks most of the door of opportunities in your life? And many doors are never opened because you never use that key of a good question to unlock that door. And I'm going to share with you some questions that will help you open up doors of opportunity that have never been opened to you. I'm also going to have my two good friends, Tim Sanders, Linda Kaplan-Thaler. They're both going to be with me on this simulcast. Tim Sanders was with Yahoo. He was a creations officer. This guy is so creative that if God would have wanted help on creating the heavens of earth, I think he would ask Tim. Linda Kaplan-Thaler, this lady knows marketing. She's the one who put the duck in Aflac. They're going to be with me at this L2 simulcast. You got to come. You got to bring your friends. Bring your team. I promise you, this will be a day that you will become a better leader.
All right, so we will be having more information. That's great. That's going to be throughout the, just open for anybody to come to that and great leadership stuff. So, everybody good? How was your week? Good? Anybody have a good week?
Yeah.
Maybe I should ask, did anybody not have a good week? All right, there we go. So, okay, that works. Anybody had a week? Just a week? Okay, here we go. We are in the second week of our series. We just started Stand, and I'm sitting down for it right now. But we talked about it last week. And if you missed it, last week we talked about Stand Out. If you missed it, go ahead and check it out on havencc.org. It's a great kickoff to this. And what we're doing, we're in a several-week series on the book of Daniel and the life of Daniel and some of his people, which is really cool. Daniel, we all know Daniel from what? Anybody know? Lion's Den. We will hit that one next week when we talk about standing strong in spiritual opposition. So we'll talk about that. But today, we're going to talk about standing up. So I better do this if I'm going to stand up. We're going to talk about standing up for what is right. And I believe this is really important because no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what you do, if you are seeking God in your life, you will come to a point in time where someone you love will make a bad choice. And they'll be making a bad choice about their lives or about something else. And God will call you to go to them and share with them how they need to stand up, and you need to stand up for what is right in order to bring them back into the right path. And that's very difficult at times. This is one of, probably in looking at the series, this is one of the toughest ones or probably my least favorite. And you say, oh great, I came on this day. I figured you'd come for the food anyway. It'd be good. But it is because it's so controversial because that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about confronting. And how many of you are confrontational people? You like to confront people. Okay? How many are non-confrontational? Some of you aren't raising your hands because you're afraid it'll cause the controversy, right, with you doing it. But some of us, there are some people who just love it. And I'm worried about it because some of you may say, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to confront 50 people this week. I'm ready. I heard it in church. I can do it. And some are really, really, really passive. So we're going to look at this, and we're going to start off today by looking at two confrontational extremes. The one is this, that some are unwilling to confront. They don't want to. They don't want to confront at all. You're just unwilling. If you have your sheet, you can go ahead and fill it in. They just don't like to. There are many of you that have a job that you have to confront people every day. Am I correct? And there are other times that you don't want to confront anybody. Even if you're supposed to, you don't want to. And some of you have this confrontational approach. Here it is right here. I found a picture of some of your confrontational approach right here. Has anybody ever worked for anybody who has this confrontational approach? How's that work for you? Not very good, because everybody else is confronting out there, and the other ones are putting up blinders and actually sticking their head in the sand and dealing with it. And you don't see any problems down there. Often those people who end up living this way or existing this way, we rationalize things. And here's how we rationalize. Some of us may say, you know, I know they're doing wrong, but let's live and let live. Let's just go ahead. Or then we come to this verse of Scripture by saying, we're not going to judge, because you know in Scripture, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, it says this, do not judge or you too will be judged. So I'm just going to let live and just let it go. But then it says, for the same way that you judge others, you will be judged with the measure you use. It will be measured to you. And you say, I've got some bad things I'm doing. I really don't want to judge somebody else, because if I do, then they're going to turn it around on me, and I don't want anybody to know what's going on in me. So I'm just going to let bygones. Oh, it's okay. I'll just blah, 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 blah. We'll go through that point of life. Anybody feel that way? Okay. Just checking if some of you are here today. So some are just too non-confrontational. There are things you need to confront, but you just won't do it for all those reasons. The other side, the other end of the spectrum, is that you are too confrontational and you confront unlovingly, many of you. For instance, we've heard of drive-bys, like drive-by shootings. We have people who are drive-by confrontational. Have you ever seen those people? You're in a cart. You'll be walking through Walmart. What are you wearing that stuff for? What's wrong with you? Who was that? I have no clue. Or somebody on the road. You'll be riding by and they'll go, hey, learn how to drive. Who is that? I have no clue. All right, some people are pointing people out here. We got that down, right? That's me in a car for some reason. I got bravery through that glass. I think it's bulletproof, I think. But some of us... Like, for instance, some of you have family members. You have family members who we say they're critical, but they're constantly confrontational. You could work. You could have your hair done. You could spend hours. You show up, and they say, I thought you were getting your hair done. Or you've been really working out a lot lately, and they say, this is a famous one in our family. You reach around behind you, you'll find it. Right? Or you say, you work really hard, you stink at a test, you stink at math, you're really bad at math, and you study, and you study, and you're thrilled because you got a 78. They say, I thought you studied. They confront you, that every single thing you do, you seem like you can't live up to that. And we also have this approach depicted on how you are in this way as well. Let's show them the picture. There we go. That's how we are. We feel like everything we do, we can't deal with that. But you know, it's those people we love on Thanksgiving, you just can't wait for them to walk through the door, right? Because they're going to make a complaint about something. If you made this, they'd say, I wish you had made that. And something will always be wrong with something. Or you have people who always make poor decisions with family things and they blame everybody else. They just are a relatively pain in the dairy air in your life. And as we looked at, we started talking about Daniel. And last week, we started talking about Daniel. And Daniel, we talked last week about how he was chosen to stand out for God. He was somebody who just really stood out. We unpacked that. And last week, we talked about this guy, King Nebuchadnezzar. And I remember, like in Sunday school, some Sunday school teachers would want you to, every time you'd say King Nebuchadnezzar, you would go, boo, because he was a real evil guy. So let's try that. King Nebuchadnezzar.
Boo.
Ooh, you guys are good at that. That's really good. And so that's part of how the story has been told throughout history. But King Nebuchadnezzar was a Babylonian king, and which would have been modern-day Iraq. And just to let you know who he was, Saddam Hussein actually looked to King Nebuchadnezzar as his hero, and he actually wrote and said he was Nebuchadnezzar reincarnated. And if anybody knows anything about the 30-plus years of Saddam Hussein's reign, it was a very evil, brutal regime. And so he associated himself with King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a vicious, evil king. But yet, here's what's interesting. Even though he was so vicious and evil, he saw the God of Israel working in the midst of people. And throughout that, he would get very close But then his pride would come in and his own fame, and he would go the other way. And which I thought that was interesting, because I know many people who live like Nebuchadnezzar in their lives. When life is difficult, when things aren't going as well, they tend to group in closer to the Lord. But then when things get better, they go and bolt away. Anybody ever seen that in their lives or met people like that? And as you see that, this is what Nebuchadnezzar is doing. So Nebuchadnezzar, here we are, we're in chapter 4, which Robin read for us. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. Now I want to ask, how many of you have ever had a dream that was so real? And when I talk about dream, a nightmare. That something in there really panicked you. You woke up, like, did you ever have a dream that someone died, someone close to you, and it was so real, you woke up and you were looking for them? Or something happened to you and it was so real, you thought that you were actually in that situation. Anybody? Anybody remember anything recently of something that scared you, some imagery or anything that scared you at all? Anybody have any? Okay. You just don't want to share your demented dreams. That's fine. We can move on from that. But Nebuchadnezzar had this vicious, vicious dream. And what we learn here, and it's really interesting, at this point in Daniel, we have Nebuchadnezzar who begins to speak in the first person. And here's what he says. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. Oh, we could do a whole sermon on that. Contented and prosperous. And he had a dream that made him afraid. Now, keep in mind, he was a powerful king. He ruled this known world at the time and could do anything, but this dream was so vivid, so powerfully vivid, that it scared him. And so, as he began to unpack this, it began to scare him all the more. And he began to say, okay, so when he woke up, it terrified him. And so he called all these special magicians, enchanters, and others together and asked them, could they interpret it? And in some versions of Scripture, it says they could not, but in other versions, I believe it's translated more properly, they would not. Because what happens is, if they had translated it and he didn't like the answer, he would have killed them. That's a powerful dream. So they're like, I don't know, King, you know, just kind of go along. I don't know. What about you? No, not you. What about you? What about you? No, we're good. Duh, we can't figure it out. So the king goes ahead and summons Daniel. Now, what's interesting about this is, remember last week when they first were taken into captivity, I told you about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I told you about them. I told you they were about 14 or 15 years of age at that time. Now we have several years that have gone by that now Daniel is about 45 to 50 years old. So he has spent most of his life in Babylonian captivity, but he has a leadership position. So the king and Daniel had this decade-long relationship where Daniel had gone ahead and interpreted some other dreams for him. So the king calls him in. His dream is this, that there, and you know, when you look at it, it's really something that a kid could maybe figure out. He says, there's this dream that there's this big tree that branches are extending out, and there's animals in the tree, and there's fruit, and everybody's living happily. And then all of a sudden comes this voice from heaven that comes and says, chop down that sucker. That's not what it says, but that's my version. Chop that down and just leave a stump and cover it with iron so that it's protected, number one, but so that it doesn't grow anymore. And he woke up terrified at this image. So he goes ahead, he calls Daniel. Now, Daniel had a choice. Daniel could have said, I don't know. He could have joined in with the rest of them. He could have said, well, you know, King, we've been together. I was 14, 15. I've done it for many, many years. I retired my dream interpretation job now. If you want to talk to Eli, he's really good at that. He could have done that. He could have said, you know, King, just go to bed. You ate some chili last night. I understand how that works. It kind of, you know, okay, it's good. All right? He could have made up some excuse. And it's interesting how the Scripture tells us, it says in verse 8, Daniel came into his presence. He told him the dream. And his name here, Belteshazzar, which was the name he was changed to. He tells him the dream. And it says after the king goes ahead and gets down to this, Daniel kind of pauses, because Daniel's going through that same struggle, that same argument. Do I go ahead and say this? Now, how many of you have known at times in your life there's somebody that you need to share something with? that their life is not the way it should be, that something's going on, that they've said or done something that you have to confront them in a loving manner, but you don't want to. Anybody? Just raise your hand if you've done had that experience before. Okay, it's usually the same people who are not confrontational. Isn't that interesting? And so this is where Daniel is. He's struggling. He knows he needs to say something. And it's even more important for him because he could actually have his head chopped off and dead. Now, what's really interesting is I did some research about some dreams, which I thought were really interesting. And whether they're true or not, we'll just go through that. How many of you have ever had a dream about falling? Okay. It usually happens early in the sleep cycle. And what you find out is people believe that dreams about falling mean that you're struggling with something that you can't seem to master or you can't control something in your life. So you're falling. How many of you have ever had this one? You forget or are late to an exam. I still have this, although I'm not taking exams anymore, which is really bad because maybe the horror is that I'm back in school. I don't know. But what they say is that has to do with that you aren't adequately prepared for something in life. That exam always kind of scares you. Because how many of us have gone into exams and we weren't adequately prepared? Okay. Anybody ever had one that you feel like you're trapped or stuck? You can't get out. That, they say, deals with that you are overwhelmed in life with something, that you're overwhelmed. Anybody ever had, this one I thought was really odd, dirty water. Have you ever dreamt about dirty water? I couldn't think if I did either. I was like, they really have this part of it. It means that you are sick or have disease. So if you have that dream about dirty water, get to the doctor immediately because you're dying. All right, how many of you have ever dreamt you had to go to the bathroom? You know what that means? It means get out of bed and go to the bathroom. That's exactly what that means. Don't hang out for any time. Have you ever dreamt that you're naked somewhere? All right, Chris is laughing too much on that one, Chris. How many of you ever dreamt that you're naked? What it means is that you're vulnerable, that you feel a vulnerability. And if you dreamt that you and another person were naked, I don't want to interpret that at all. I don't want to hear anything about that. Just keep that to yourself. We'll move on. Do you know what the ones I really love? Have you ever had a dream where you were mad at somebody in your dream and you woke up and you see them and you're mad at them, or like somebody's mad at you and you didn't do anything? And you're like, what did I do? You were in my dream. I know what you did. And you're like, I don't do anything. It was your dream. It's your dream. It's not mine. But they're mad at you. So you go through that one. There's several different things. But Daniel has all these choices. But the cool thing that Daniel does is he pauses and he begins with a really powerful verse. A really, really powerful thing. Excuse me. And he begins to interpret this. And he says, in verse 19, it says, Daniel was greatly perplexed for a time. And his thoughts terrified him. He really just stopped and said, I got to think about what I'm going to say. I got to think if I'm going to say this because my life is on the line here. And as he sat there, the king said, don't worry about, don't let it alarm you. Tell me. So Daniel says, my Lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. You see, Daniel knew what he was going to share was not going to be good news to the person that was going to receive it. But yet he also knew that for the betterment of everything, he had to share what God had called him to share so that the king could get his eyes focused on what was really important and what God was trying to say to him. And so he begins to interpret this, and he starts, and he talks about the tree and everything, and then he begins to interpret in verse 24. This is the interpretation, Your Majesty, and this is the decree the Most High has issued against my Lord. Here's verse 25. You will be driven away from people and will live with wild animals. You will eat grass like an ox and be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 years will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all the kingdoms of the earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. What Daniel says here is, King, you're going to lose it. You're going to completely lose it. Now, you may wonder, is there any kind of background history about this? Well, it's really interesting. Ancient history was really good about leaving, about really keeping records, but when they left gaps, it was because it was a weakness in their leadership. And what's interesting, you have historically about 7 years gap between King Nebuchadnezzar's reign, a gap that is missing in here. And so what happens in this section? Well, Daniel says, but wait a second, in verse 26, wait a second, king, here's the good news. The command to leave the stump, the tree of the stump with its roots, means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. When you acknowledge that heaven rules. And so, at this point he says, hey, wait, here's the bad, but here's the good. Now here's what I want to do. Daniel says, wait a second, king, in verse 27, please accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed, that it may be that your prosperity will continue. In other words, here's the reason why God's pretty ticked off. You have so much blessing. You have so much that you can do. You have so much good stuff going for you, but you're doing this wrong to this amount of people. You're not taking care of the oppressed. You're not taking care of the hungry in your kingdom. You're not reaching out to those who need you. And God's holding that against you because you're looking at it as you are the one who's responsible, not him. And you need to confess that God is king and that all heaven rules. You know, one of the things that we find out is when you confront at the right way, in the right time, for the right reason, that you will also do what Daniel did. If you're doing it in the right way, for the right reason, at the right time, here's what will happen. You too will offer some advice that God wants to give. He gives him bad news, but he says, if you will just do this, maybe God will change some stuff up here. If you'll break from your wicked past, if you'll be merciful and stop being evil, perhaps then you will continue to prosper. Please do what God wants. Let me share something with you. If you live in the Christian community, and that's what we call this. A church is to be the Christian community. Then that means we are supposed to be in fellowship together, that we unite together, that we come together, that we have relationships with each other, and with relationships, you have joys, you have togetherness, you also have failings, and you have issues. Am I right? Anybody ever had a relationship in your immediate family? Nobody? Anybody ever, they're sitting with you, you don't want to say it, I get it. But has anybody ever had these situations, and you know you need to tell somebody in your family, and it's not always right? You must go ahead and share in the right way, at the right time, for the right reasons, in order that God will bring and restore them back. So what do we need to do? Let's look at what Daniel did so we can set this down. What we need to do is prayerfully confront. We need to go to the Lord in prayer. So what I'm going to do, when it says right there that Daniel stopped and paused, I believe Daniel was in prayer seeking direction from God. And here's what I'm going to give you some of the prayers that we seek. There is a great section in Scripture in the New Testament, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, in the New Living Translation I'm going to give to you, that the Apostle Paul shares everything that Daniel's doing here. And let's look at this together. I'll have it up on the screen, and it's also in your bulletin. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should do what? Let's say that again. Gently and humbly, help that person back onto what? The right path. And be careful not to fall into that same temptation yourself. So your first prayer that I want you to give when you have to confront somebody and stand up for God is this. Lord, help me confront with the goal of restoration. Lord, help me confront with the goal of restoration. We want to go ahead and restore. We want to stand up for restoration. We never, ever confront because we are right. Look at the person next to you. Never, ever. Look at the other person. Never, ever. We never, ever should confront somebody because we are right. But what we want to do is to confront somebody to get them right with God. Let me say that again. We never, ever want to confront someone because we are right. Because guess what that gets into? Anybody ever seen, been to the zoo? You ever see the monkeys when they decide to have a fight?
Yeah.
What do they start throwing at each other?
Poop.
And you know, we like, the Lord leaves a lot of motifs. I'm going to add another one. We have the sheep, that we're all sheep and gone astray. A lot of times we're monkeys that like to sling poo at each other. And the church is really, really good at slinging poo around. I know that's not a beautiful image that you want to see, but guess what? You know how we throw it? We throw it, the Methodists throw it at the Baptists. The Baptists throw it at the Catholics. Catholics throw it at the Episcopals. Everybody throws it at the independent people because they can't decide what they're going to do. And then when we decide to come together, we decide to throw at Christianity. We decide to throw it at the Jews because they haven't figured it out yet. Am I right? And then we even break it down to in the church. We throw it across the aisle, and the people in the middle are getting hit. You guys were the good ones last week. This is the good ones this week. They're throwing the poo over here, and they're getting hit by your poo. And guess what? You know what that leaves? It leaves a messy church. It leaves a messy people of God. It leaves a messy body of Christ. And the world is saying, oh, you're telling me this is the church wholly lifted up. And meanwhile, guess what? When you throw poo at each other, you get messy, and you stink. This isn't down on the paper. This is from God. Sorry. This is how he talks to me. I'm going to show you an illustration, and you're going to think totally different of me. When I was younger, I went to Turkey Point, and I went with a friend of mine, Jimmy Hall. I'll throw him out there. And we were down there, and there's a lot of deer down there. And what do deer do in the woods? Poo. It wasn't wintertime, so we couldn't have a snowball fight. I'm sorry. I didn't tell you I'm perfect. So what do? We started throwing deer poo at each other. I told you I was young. It wasn't last year. And you talk about running and smelling. Fortunately, it wasn't my car that we got back in. It was theirs, but they deserved it. But what I'm saying is, we as the church, you figure that one out. We as the church spend way too much time with this nonsense. And when we get somebody and when we have the church doing what we want to do, it's all wonderful and beautiful. But when, God forbid, we step out for God and stand up for God and stand out for God and it doesn't mesh with how we see that the church should be, then we're slinging poo. And when we do that, we tell the world that we really are not saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We tell the world that what we care about is church my way, that we think it's Burger King and we can have church our way, not God's way. And if you're following the Burger King, you're going to end up fat and dead. But if you follow the King of Kings, you're going to end up alive and powerful through the power of the Holy Spirit. Anybody alive out there? Because we go to each other out of proving that we're right, and we dump up and we get nasty when we say, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. And if everybody's right, then guess what? Everybody's wrong. The only person who is right is Jesus Christ. And his goal, as I see, he was perfectly right. And what did he do? He came from heaven, suffered and died for your wrong, my wrong, and everybody's wrong in history to restore us to the Father. He could have said, to hell with them all, literally, and gone on. But he didn't, because he had love and he wanted to confront a sick and dying world with the fact that we are wrong and sinful, and what we need is him in order that we get the mess cleaned up of our lives called sin and death in order to be restored to the Father. And I got to tell you, Christians today have not gotten the approach, many of us have not gotten the approach that this is about restoration to the Father, not about right for me and right for you. And when we grasp that, then we begin to grasp the gospel. We begin to grasp the gospel. And we get the full force of that when we come alongside. Loving confrontation wins out. But sadly, most times I have tried to see loving confrontation happen within the context of the church, people receive it negatively. You know why? Because we aren't a forgiving people as we say we are. And there's something completely wrong with that, and it breaks the Lord's heart. You see, this is why I believe there is power in small group ministry. This is why I believe there is power when we come together as the body of Christ, because we do life together. Because I got to tell you, we need to raise children together.
Amen.
in the church. We need to heal our marriages together. We need to get through losses of jobs together. We need to get through depression together. We only do that in togetherness in the body of Christ when we forgive and love each other unconditionally, not when we want to be right. And so we got to embrace life together when we come together. So our first prayer has to be, Lord, help me confront with a goal of restoration. Who is it that you need to restore with this week? Who is it that you need a goal of restoration with? Number two, Lord, help me confront with caution. Help me confront with caution. Galatians 6:1. Part B, you can see that on your bulletin, the part B in the LLT. Gently and humbly help that person on the right path. That's restoration. But you look at the second one. Lord, help me confront with caution. And be careful not to fall into that to the same temptation yourself. Be careful not to fall into that same temptation yourself. One of the things that I find out is when we confront somebody, we often are very vulnerable to pride. Because when we approach somebody and we say, hey, you know, we start with love and we say, hey, you know, I really want this to be well. And the person's like, oh, I'm so thankful you're there. And you say, you know what, you're darn right. You should be glad that I'm in your life. And we start to have this pride thing that happens when we begin to restore people, we begin to connect people, we begin to work together. And then when we do that, we start to say, I'm pretty good. And this pride thing begins to happen and begins to grow. You know, there are some times that in my ministry over almost 20 years where I've gone ahead and I've seen people who have come to me and talked and they've said, you know, this person's really bothering me. They're doing this. And what I find out is if I really get into the situation, the thing that is bothering this person the most is really what's bothering them. The thing that's bothering them about that other, it's gone rampant in their lives. And so it's speaking to themselves. And so what the Apostle Paul says is if you go to somebody and you go ahead and you say somebody is talking about people and just the Scripture calls it backbiting. And when they do that, you go to them and say in love and say, this is not what God has intended. And then they say, you know, you're right. And you start talking and you're together. And then all of a sudden you say, you know, but I'm so glad you talked to me about that person. But let me tell you, that other person in church, and you say, I know. Let me tell you, I know. And before you know it, you're right there again. Melissa used to have this thing that she would do when, because she was part of a mom's group at a point. And for some reason, they just wanted to, about everybody. Like when one would leave, and she just said, Lord just convicted her. This is wrong. And it got to the point that she said the only way she could stop it was to yell, sin. So people would start, and she'd go, sin, and walk away. And people were like, what the heck? You know? If you really want to get people's attention, just start yelling sin everywhere you go. You know, be careful not being self-righteous in that as well. Look at what it says here. It says, be careful that you will not fall into the same temptation yourself. You know, the rest of Matthew chapter 7 says this. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? We live in a point of our lives where we say, you know, look at that person. I can't believe that person's addicted. I can't believe that person's done this. I can't believe they've thrown everything away. I can't believe they let this. But yet when we really look at ourselves and we really start to look in the mirror, I can't believe that you're not reaching out to those people. I can't believe that you're not connecting to me day in and day out in a relationship with me, says the Lord. I can't believe that you don't have love for those people instead of having condemnation. I can't believe that you're harboring resentment and unforgiveness to that person who you sit next to in the church. I can't believe that you said that thing or about that other person. I can't believe that you think and want to do those things behind your spouse's back. When we begin to take a good long look in the mirror, we recognize that there's some planks in our eyes. I don't know about you, but sometimes it feels like I got a Home Depot in my eye. And if I'm really honest, I can't see the speck of sawdust because I got too many boards in my face. You see, when you're confronting, you are vulnerable to pride. We need to be careful about that in our lives. There are so many people that are in need. You know, I got to say, this is one of the things that I struggle with in doing this sermon, because I got to tell you, this could be taken wrong. This could be taken really wrong, that you may say to yourself, all right, I'm ready. Today I'm going to go confront four people after church. I got their names. I'm going to call them. Thank God, by the grace of God, I'm going to FaceTime them. And so I can look at them face to face and say, you're wrong. Here, I'm going to share with you. This is in love. I love you. Here it is. And that's not what I'm going to talk about, because a lot of times churches spend a lot of time becoming a place where they can condemn people. And I loathe when that happens. The church should not be known for what we don't like. It should be a place where people know what we stand for. And the church, sadly, over the years, has become a place where, oh, well, they don't like that. You don't do this. You don't wear those clothes. You don't speak this way. You don't use that kind of Bible. You got to use this one. You got to speak in these and nows. Got to do that. If that's what you like, cool, awesome, use it. But if you don't, guess what? There's newer translations. That's good. It's not changing it. It's taking the word of God. Unless all of us are speaking Aramaic, Greek, and Hebrew, guess what? None of us have the original version. Just hated to burst somebody's bubble there. But guess what? It's all the word of God that speaks life into me and speaks life into you. And when we quit complaining about what we don't stand for, there's so many rules and regulations that we throw on that we have Christian Phariseeism. Then the world says they don't, rather than they do stand for a Savior who loves them, who gave his life on a cross for you. No matter what your situation was, no matter where you were, that he lived, he suffered, he died, and he rose again, praise God, that he did that to restore and connect you to the Father. So that he says, when all else fails in life, that you can do one thing, you can stand. Stand on, like the old hymn, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is what? Sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. That's what the church has to recapture standing for our Savior, who the world will shift and go. People will come and go, but he will stand for eternity. Ever and ever. Daniel pleads and challenges King Nebuchadnezzar to stop sinning. But guess what? The rest of the story goes that King Nebuchadnezzar didn't listen to that. He walked out a year later. God gave him a year. And he walked out and he stood up there and he looked at Babylon and he said, isn't this awesome that I've done? Isn't this fantastic? Look at me. And it says in the scripture, immediately when it happened, he was gone. He was out in the wilderness. He was animalistic. Many people have figured out exactly what he kind of went through mentally, but he lost it at that moment. 7 years he went out. And then we come to this important verse. It's down in verse 34. And if you have your Bibles, turn there with me. But in verse 34, I'll start in 33. Immediately what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people, ate grass like an ox. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. And then in verse 34, at the end of that time, 7 years, he says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. And he said, his dominion is eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples on the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and all the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? And he says, at the same time, my sanity was restored and all other things. You see, God is glorified through someone who took a risk. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up now. And as I do that, I'm going to finish this down as they walk up. And I know some of you, some people may need to speak life and truth and restoration to a marital relationship. That you may have determined that it's all gone, that stick a fork in it, it's done. And guess what? God wants to say, give me a chance in this. Start praising me. You may have a child that has done something wrong. It may be worse. They may be an adult child that you have no control over. And God is calling you to speak and stand up for something that is right at the right time, in the right place, in the right way. There may be a supervisor at work who's just so condemning. And you may just need to stand up and stand out for God in this way. Whatever it may be, I believe God wants you to stand up. So I'm going to ask you to stand up at this moment right now. And Father, as a church full of people, not against, that doesn't want to stand for being against stuff, but for connecting others to you, that's what we stand for. That name itself came by you giving it to be a place where people can connect safely to you. And so as we focus on you, Lord God, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, there are people here that I just want to ask you, those of you who are here, who will this week make yourself available the right way, the right place, and the right time to be willing to others to help bring them back on the right path that God is calling you. If you are that person with your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you really want to make yourself available for God to go ahead and just be available for those people in loving, prayerful confrontation, just kind of raise your hand up where you are. Amen. Amen, Lord. I thank you for those people. I ask that you give those people just power and strength through your Holy Spirit. And God, I want to pray for those who need to confront and prayerfully confront in certain areas. That they need to prayerfully confront their marriage. They need to say, you know, the way you've been treating this part of the marriage, and I know I haven't been perfect, but God wants something else. He wants to bring restoration here. Or maybe you need, there are parents who need to confront children, or maybe there are children who need to confront parents. Lord, I ask that you give them the conviction and the discipline to be like Daniel, to be able to say, all right, I'm going to do this. And you know, God, I got to admit, for much of my life, I really didn't fully understand the fullness of the gospel. Because, yeah, it was all about believing in you. But what I really recognize is that what it's about is about believers coming together to connect and serve the Holy Spirit. And He wants us to connect with each other. And so, Lord, the answer is, where are those people that we have in our lives where we need to bridge the gap, where we need to seek restoration? And so, Lord, there are other people here who just need to, who are watching online, that just need to surrender their lives to you. That they've been living this life. They're like King Nebuchadnezzar, who have been living under their own strength and power, and yet they need that time where they just got to say, oh, Lord, you are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords. Your dominion reigns forever, not mine. And so if you're that person that just needs to give over your life to Jesus, to accept His death and resurrection and accept His new life, just kind of raise your hand where you are. Go ahead and raise your hand and just say, Lord, I need you. I need you and I want you in my life. I see your hand. And say, God, I'm sorry for not being the one that you wanted me to be and for just denying you, but I need you in my life. Thank you, God, for those hands and for those people. And so if you will, just pray with me out loud. Heavenly Father, I believe in you. I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who suffered, died, and rose again. And God, He could have thrown us all away, but He came to restore us to you. And so, Lord, I received His gift of salvation in my life. I receive His Holy Spirit to strengthen me day in and day out. So thank you, Jesus, for making me new. Thank you for restoring brokenness and hurts from years previous. And for giving me a future of hope in you. Thank you for my new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's praise the Lord here today as we continue with this song. The altar is open. I'm going to ask if Debbie, if you'll come down the middle. Randy, if you'll come over here. And Donna, if you're able to. You got a baby in your hand. Please come. This is for you to pray and just to spend time with the Lord. These are people here who love you and who want to be there with you. Use this time right now. To do that chorus just one more time, and I just want you to just focus on the words, just focus on what it's saying. Christ alone, the cornerstone. I think many people like Nebuchadnezzar have been putting their faith and their trust in what you have and what you've done, or maybe you put it in what somebody else has done for you. This is a time once this week that you can come together and just put your trust and your hope in Jesus and people who love you just for the sake that you're their brother and sister in Christ. And I just want to sing that one more time and just focus on who God is. God's nudging you. These people up here are praying for you, even though where you are. If you don't want to come up, just kind of raise your hand and they'll go to you. This is a time where you have that, so we can just have God bridge what has been broken in your lives. One more time, Liam, please. Come before you, some of us not even knowing what we need from you, God. But whatever it is, Lord, many of us are just tired of the same old existence, the same old thing, chasing after what seems to be a mist that just goes away. God, I know there's people here today that at one point, like Nebuchadnezzar, felt like they're drawing closer to you, but for some other reason they got pulled away. It could be work, it could be relationships, it could be somebody letting them down, it could be me letting them down. I don't know, God. But whatever it is, I pray that you bridge that gap. You make up where I failed, where work has failed, where relationships have failed. That God, you make a way that you are our trust and our hope. That you are the only rock and the cornerstone that we have in our lives. And for that, Lord, I give you praise in advance as we seek you and your restoration. In Christ's name, amen. 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 Awesome to be in the presence of God. Next week, we're going to take our third week of the series, and we're going to talk about standing strong in the face of adversity, when we stand strong, and we're going to enter the lion's den. Are you ready?
Yep.
We're going to head in the lion's. Have an awesome week. Hope to see you at the picnic. Before you go, I'm going to do this, because I learned from picnics. If you wait for the preacher to get there to say the blessing, it's going to get cold and people are going to starve. So here we go. Lord God, bless the food, bless the hands that prepared it, and bless all those mouths that are going to eat it and the bodies that are going to receive it. That God, we can have a great time as we stand up and stand out for you as the people of God as we head down to Perryville Park. If somebody's visiting here today or said, oh, I didn't know this day, have them come. They'll have a blast. The kids will have fun, and so will they. And God, bring us together. Bind us together closer than ever before. In Christ's mighty name we pray. Amen.